Support for this podcast and the following message come from Allianz Travel Insurance. You've got big plans ahead. Protect your adventures for the next 365 days with an all-trips annual travel insurance plan. Learn more and get a quote at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says international pressure will not keep him from taking military action in the Gaza town of Rafah, where more than 1 million displaced Palestinians are sheltering. NPR's Greg Myrie reports on Netanyahu's remarks this weekend.
Prime Minister Netanyahu said Israel's military needed to defeat Hamas in Rafah, the group's last stronghold in Gaza. He said, quote, "Whoever wants to prevent us from operating in Rafah is telling us, in effect, to lose the war. I will not allow this." Foreign leaders and international aid groups warn that a major military operation in Rafah will lead to high civilian casualties and worsen the existing humanitarian crisis. Rafah is on Gaza's southern border with Egypt and has become a tent city as Palestinians have fled other parts of the territory. Israel and Hamas are holding ceasefire talks but do not appear close to an agreement. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Health officials say a key hospital in southern Gaza is now completely out of service after Israeli forces raided the facility on Thursday. Officials say the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunus lacks fuel, and fighting around the facility has forced it to cease operations. The circumstances surrounding the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny remains unclear. Navalny's team claims he was murdered, and President Biden was quick to blame Russian leader Vladimir Putin. The Guardian's Luke Harding has covered Russia for years.
Western governments, the American governments, believe that Putin personally authorizes these operations. In other words, you can't kill people on a freelance basis if they're critics of the Tsar, of the president. You need an order from the top. So I think responsibility for Navalny's death sits with Putin.
OVD Info is a prominent rights group in Russia. It says more than 400 people have been detained while paying tribute to Navalny this weekend. More than 3 months after the United Auto Workers Union declared victory in its standoff with the big three automakers, Ford CEO Jim Farley says the strike proved to be an extremely difficult moment. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports.
Speaking at the Wolf Research Global Auto Conference, Farley said Ford used to pride itself on not having had a strike since the 70s. Among the big three, Ford employs the most union auto workers and makes all of its trucks with those workers in the U.S. But last fall's strike, he said, was a watershed moment.
Our reliance on the UAW turned out to be we were the first truck plant they shut down. That was a moment for us. Clearly, our relationship has changed.
Farley added that Ford now has to think carefully about its footprint. Those comments didn't stop the UAW from issuing a new strike notice. The union says 9,000 workers at Ford's Kentucky truck plant will walk out on Friday if disputes over the local contract are not resolved. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
And this is NPR. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp paid tribute this weekend to Sergeant Breonna Moffitt, one of the three Army Reserve soldiers killed in a drone attack in Jordan 3 weeks ago.
When someone is taken from us so young in this life, as Breonna was, and in such a painful way, we are all immediately stuck with grief.
Kemp spoke at Moffitt's funeral in Savannah yesterday. She was 23 when she was killed in the attack, along with 24-year-old Sergeant Kennedy Sanders and Staff Sergeant William Rivers. A service also held this weekend for Sanders at a middle school in Waycross, Georgia. He and Moffitt were said to be close friends. College basketball coaching legend Lefty Drysdale died Saturday at the age of 92. Greg Eklund reports on his career.
Lefty Drysdale took four different schools to the NCAA tournament, but he's best remembered for his Maryland coaching career when he led the Terrapins from 1969 to 1986. When Drysdale was part of the 2007 College Basketball Hall of Fame class in Kansas City, he called himself a basketball fanatic, even when he was away from the basketball court.
I got a boat and I fish, but I never catch any fish. But I'm thinking basketball when I'm out there.
Drysdale was forced to resign from Maryland after the death of former Terrapin All-American Len Bias because of a cocaine overdose, though Drysdale was never connected with Bias's passing. Drysdale finished with 786 career victories. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. Imagine growing a business with high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.